Beautiful robes so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful homes so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining with stars o'er there, yonder in mansions fair, gather us there.
Thanks for tuning in for our Good Friday broadcast, live from Tawas United Methodist Church. Participating area church pastors, together with the Tawas Area Ministerial Association, are glad to present today's broadcast. We hope you'll find today's service to be spiritually uplifting and inspirational. And now, Good Friday services, live from Tawas United Methodist Church at 20 West M 55 in Tawas City.
I'm Peter Stad, Archbishop of the Worldwide Anglican Church, and also the President of the Tawas Area Ministerial Association. We're pleased to have with us today, we have Pastor Max Miller, and Max is the new pastor of Grace Lutheran Church, and by the way, he is an accomplished author. And I've been working my way through one of his books. He's a novelist, so he's getting ready to publish his second book, which we're very excited, and I guess a third book in the trilogy. Eventually, okay. I know he told me that his publisher keeps calling and saying, what does eventually mean? And then we have over here, we have Pastor Frank Wasinski. If you want to stand up, Frank, so I can see your handsome face. And Frank is pastor over at Living Water, and his wife, Apostle Twyla Wasinski. And Apostle Twyla is past president of the Tawas Area Ministerial Association, and also she's currently vice president and treasurer, and we're trying to find a few more jobs for her. You know how it goes up here. And then, of course, we have with us today, we have the Reverend Chris Kapler, which I think some of you may know. And thank you for allowing us to use your church, and also his wife, Chaplain Sarah. Our offering today is going to support the annual budget of the Tawas Area Ministerial Association, which I can tell you almost 95% of our budget goes for supporting the chaplain program that goes to the various nursing homes and in the area. And so we are also pleased to announce that the chaplain visits and worship services has resumed. Now that we can get in, and of course, Sarah, Chaplain Sarah here, is, I think you know her, some of you at least should. She is also our chaplain and does a fantastic job. Please mark your calendars also for August 3 through 7. And we have tentatively scheduled a summer festival of life and light here in Tawas through the Ministerial Association. It's going to be over, we're planning to use the town hall center, or town center, I guess you call it, in Tawas City, town square, okay. And we are going to be having a number of programs, including the evening. We're going to have different pastors preaching. We want to start reaching out in the name of Christ into our community. Especially this last year, many of our churches have lost people in attendance because they've gotten out of the habit, and we need to bring Christ back into the center of this area. And so please be praying for that. And also, by the way, if you haven't noticed, we don't pass the offering plate because of the COVID restrictions, but you will find the plate in the back of the church, and that money is being collected for the chaplaincy program so that we can be able to reach out to our seniors. You find your call to worship and opening prayer was on the bulletin that has been passed out to you earlier. Do you rise here for that, or start the hymn first? Oh, problem is he printed it in red, and I have a hard time reading it up here.
Our first hymn, we're going to stand and sing together, Lift High the Cross. This is hymn number 159 in our red hymnals, and the words will be on the screen.
Door is safe. crucified bears on the brow the seal of him who died. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Shall our song of triumph ever be praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
Come, let us worship God who loves us with a sacrificial love.
Everyone who loves has been born
of God and knows God.
Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
God is love.
Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them.
God, help us to experience your love today so we can embody it for others as we go from this place.
Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree,
that we may die to sin and live to righteousness.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord God, we come on this sacred day we call Good Friday, Holy Friday, and a day when you completed the sacrifice. Gone are the days we sacrifice animals that were only a temporary atonement. You are the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, we pray that this day that we may remember what you've done for us, that you stretched out your hands on the hardwood cross and there gave up your life for us, defeating forever the power of sin, the power of the grave, as he rose 3 days later. We have victory today, not defeat. Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive the message today. Lord, give us today that love of you through the power of the Holy Spirit to touch each one of our hearts and minds, that we may become your servant and your disciple. Father, I pray this by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We have some special music. Diane's going to play for us. The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you. Our scripture lesson is from Isaiah chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 12. But I'm going to read the portion, and then after that, Reverend Max Miller will read the rest. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high, just as there were many who were astonished at him. So marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By the perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will not allot him a portion with a great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors.
Let's stand and sing together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. This is hymn number 298. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2.
be seated.
We have just a little excerpt here. If you can cue that up. There we go.
It was a Friday, early morning. While the sun was still sleeping, Jesus was cheated, arrested for no reason but treason in men's hearts. And just like that, it starts. It was an unjust Friday. Six trials, nothing sticking, priests punching, judges kicking, slinging lies at infinity, beating down on divinity who, by grace, did not speak, obedient, meek. It was a painful Friday as daylight tumbled in, whips ripped the skin of the one who healed a thousand wounds, the one whose soul was right and true, left in shreds for something he did not do. It's an ugly Friday, the clawing crowd, when given a choice, let villain fly in single voice. But when Jesus' name was lifted high, could find no word but crucify, crucify. It was a bloody Friday, filled with nails and wood, and a man who would do what God only could, arms open wide, good enough to die for the very people who hung him out and bled him dry. It was a dark Friday, a shout to the sky, a spear in the side, two Marys start to cry as angry earth trembles and black clouds swell. Quietly, Jesus goes through hell, dying in our place, dying well on Friday, Good Friday. How is it a day of such evil and pain ever got the word good in its name? This day of infamy, human villainy, when the world showed off its most evil face, because there, in that blood-stained place, when they pulled the body down like seed to ground, the author of life sprouted roots of grace that would once and for all save the human race. This victory death, a complete surprise, as demons and devils with fear in their eyes realized that once a perfect man died, the law was finally satisfied. No more striving, no more trying, no more guilt, no more dying. The man who lived the way we should died the way only God could. And that's why we call this Friday good. The day Christ fell is the day mercy stood. So hold your faith, lift your praise, and remember, as good as Friday is, Easter is still on the way, hope rising forever. Three more days.
Each one of us are going to share one of the sentences Jesus spoke from the cross. This, we call it the seven last words of Christ. Great meaning attached to each one of these sentences or phrases that Jesus spoke. The first one is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Of the seven last words of Christ, this is the hardest lesson for our Christian lives. Jesus earlier taught, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Jesus, on the cross, proved here that he lived true to his teaching. These barbaric soldiers, assigned to the gruesome task of murdering God's son, were nailing Jesus to a cross while listening to him pray, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. How could they have comprehended what Jesus said? This confounds the fallen human mind. It butts heads with all conventional wisdom. Jesus had been granted authority to forgive people on earth, doing so many times. Momentarily, though, while he was being lifted up off the earth and condemned, this wasn't possible. Jesus had to ask his Father to forgive them. The Father always heard his Son pray, this being no exception. Soon, a thief, a centurion, and many other guilty individuals would have the life and death of Jesus Christ applied to their accounts. Could there be a greater altruistic deed than asking for the most wonderful blessing imaginable on the responsible parties for his death? What would a normal person ask for at such a time as this? Would the thought of eternal forgiveness for those killing us even cross our minds? We would probably be lashing out at the evil deed. We would be pleading for our rights. We would beg for pain medications while squirming and screaming in uncontrollable anguish. Not Jesus. He came to the earth to forgive sins, and that compassion and mission never left his pure soul. Isaiah 53 verse 12 predicted that Jesus would pray for his persecutors. So what's our lesson in all of this? We can learn much from Jesus here. Upon facing death, we can trust in God's sovereign plan by maintaining our self-control, keeping our kingdom mission in sight at all times is a great act of Christian maturity. Our eyes should be looking to help someone in need or looking to pray to God for their forgiveness. Jesus did this, and Stephen did this weeks after hearing about his master. Let's follow these two wonderful examples of selflessness to our own deaths.
The second of the words of the seven, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The statement is what I believe all Christians, you and me, and others alike, is what we all wish for, to be with God in his paradise. This is a Bible verse that gives us all, or should give us all, hope. Something that the world outside these doors doesn't seem to give mankind. But our hope is not in the world, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And of the seven last words of Christ, this gives sinners the most confidence to live a life in the world that we see today. A thief hung on each side of Jesus on the cross. The two thieves joined the guards, the religious leaders, and the public in mocking Christ's self-proclaimed kingdom. Sometime after hearing Jesus' prayer for his persecutors, one thief turned to the other, telling him, "Don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, and we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus, remember me. Jesus, even though his attention was fixed on saving the world's sins, told the thief, "I assure you today that you will be with me in paradise." If we heard those words, I think we listen close. We can hear those sounds coming from Jesus' voice because of the faith that we have in what he did and who he was. The thief had learned helplessness upon the cross, and his plight was dire. His life was almost over, and he left no good legacy and had nothing for which to look forward. Notice the elements of this prayer to Jesus. First, he feared God, which is the beginning of wisdom. We find that when we read the Psalms and Proverbs. Next, he admitted his sin and condemnation. Next, he acknowledged Christ's sinlessness. And finally, he believed in Jesus' kingship. And something mysterious quickly happened to this thief to change his mind about Jesus Christ. This thief became born again. And finally, acquiring the ability to understand who Jesus is. The thief witnessed so much in such a little time, but it all made perfect sense. God had granted him repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. A miracle of salvation happened to this man in a moment of time. We can't pretend to know how much he knew of God, how much he knew of the scriptures before meeting Jesus. But we do know he was rightly condemned for some terrible act that he did in his life. Regardless, God saved this man and was soon swinging wide the gates of paradise to welcome him home to his Father. Grasp this. This thief, in a short few short moments, stopped mocking Jesus and became his own saint, God's own saint. God reached down and changed him, and the thief turned in repentance and faith to the Lamb. The thief didn't receive baptism nor any other rite, and he didn't attempt to earn God's blessing. Repentance and faith found him, and he verbally expressed it back towards God through his Son. The same happens to people on their deathbeds or when they are young as a child. God is always waiting to hear a repentant sinner hand over his or her life to him. Amen.
When Jesus recognized his mother standing near the cross with the Apostle John, he entrusted his mother's well-being to John's responsibility. In John 19, verse 26 and 27 says, "Dear woman, here is your son, and here is your mother." Of the seven last words of Christ, this is the most heartwarming and personal. At Christ's birth, Mary heard the following prediction from Simeon. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, Mother of Jesus, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. That was from Luke chapter 2, verse 34 to 35. Mary knew this day at the cross would be painful, but knowing hardly made it easier for her. She loved God prior to the birth of Jesus, and she loved God now. She perfectly understood her role as the earthly mother of Jesus Christ. She stoically handled this situation with great dignity and poise. Jesus said to Mary and John, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus never shirked his duties as a man. Here, Jesus honors God's fifth commandment by taking care of his mother. Jesus' siblings were not yet believers. Therefore, he placed his mother in the care of a believing friend. Tradition says that John took care of Mary for for 12 years after this event. Jesus is in us, and he wants us to take care of the ones that we love and the ones we know, and then the ones whom they don't know Jesus.
The fourth of the seven last words of Jesus are, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Of the seven last words of Christ, this is by far the most mysterious and important. It is also the saddest, because this time of God's departure is what Jesus dreaded with his entire being. This is why Jesus experienced his deepest sorrow while praying in the garden. Concluding 3 hours of ominous darkness across the land, Jesus pleaded, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had turned away from Jesus on the cross, leaving him in outer darkness. Jesus uttered the ultimate depths of wrath that God would inflict upon him. His body still alive, he communicated the anguish that inflicts a soul who is separated from God. God abandoned Jesus, leaving him alone to battle the dark forces of evil. How could God do such a thing to his pleasing son? Why? Take heart knowing that this extreme punishment was planned before the beginning of the world. Jesus knew his earthly destiny ended on this hill. The reason is clearly stated in this beautiful passage. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God punished Jesus for every sin of every believer of all time. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. God forsook Jesus on the cross for 3 hours so that he could forgive for eternity. The second part of the verse informs us that the sinless life that Jesus led is placed onto our account. From the day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ through all eternity, God views each person who loves him as though the person lived the perfect life of Jesus Christ. God, through his spotless lamb, has turned our filthy rags into white linens. As Jesus is, so will we be in our Father's eyes. Is this not the most incredible love story you've ever heard?
I am thirsty. Of the seven last words, this one fills us with relief. It was a time where his human body was beginning to fail. He was dying on the cross. He was close to death. But in that, he was very close to reuniting with his beloved Father in heaven. The physical beating, the suffering, led to his thirst. And after all that had gone on that day, his mouth was dry and racked with painful thirst. His work on earth was done. He lived without sin, and his sacrifice was accepted by God. Jesus was leaving this earth, stating his human needs, just like us. He wanted some relief. He wanted some respite. He wanted something. And they gave him vinegar. And he drank it on a saturated sponge. Is there something more? Is there something hidden in that? In those words, I am thirsty? Just like he told the woman at the well, that there was something about the Holy Spirit that could quench all thirst forever. Jesus was now 3 hours into his forsaking by God. God's Spirit had left him alone for the first time in all eternity. He thirsted. He needed something to drink. And this spiritual thirst from his Father and the Spirit, in words by J. Oswald Sanders, he would conclude this: "I thirst" was a sob of physical agony. He who began his ministry with a gnawing hunger is closing it with a raging thirst. The climax of our spiritual anguish synchronized with the zenith of his physical pain.
In the sixth of the seven last words Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Of the seven last words of Christ, this is the most exciting. Christ's earthly work was finished. Jesus said 3 years prior, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing this work." And Jesus Christ, through all that time, remained blameless his entire life, qualifying him to be the Savior of the world. He completed his mission, and it was a success. Jesus' life was over, and he was victorious. The sins of everyone who come to God through him will now be forgiven because of Christ's sacrifice. Jesus used one Greek word, tetelestai. Tetelestai, which means it is finished. In Luke 23:46, he shares that Jesus cried with a loud voice. And undoubtedly, this was the shout of complete victory for God's kingdom. And the visitors are all those who received God's salvation and Jesus' act of love. That is Jesus on the cross, and he hung there completely for theirs and our benefit. All God's people, both before and after Jesus died, were and will be made right with God. Tetelestai, it is finished. This is such a beautiful cry of victory for each and every one of us. May our souls join in Jesus' exuberant celebration today. Tetelestai, it is finished.
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Of the seven last words of Christ, this is the most inspiring and hopeful. If hatred remains in your heart for those responsible for murdering Jesus, it should be dismissed at this point. Be thankful you weren't one of the people that God allowed to carry out his innermost hatred. Some of those culpable for the injustice later were forgiven by God. Those who didn't repent and believe are eternally separated from God now. Let it go. God has everything under control. Jesus' mind was on his physical suffering. He wasn't struggling, trying to hold on to life. Jesus gave up his spirit. Death's power didn't come upon a passive Christ as it does on normal humans. Jesus owns the power of death. Jesus actively released his spirit, which no devil or human could ever take from him. Jesus could have remained alive had he wanted to do so. The original curse of sin was not upon his being. He could have preached to the masses for hundreds of years. That it wasn't God's plan. God sent Jesus to the cross, and Jesus accepted the plan from eternity. Those two, working with Spirit's power, sovereignly controlled this entire situation from the beginning. This work was so you and I could be forgiven and gain eternal life in heaven. Our personal spirits are in God's hands from the moment He created us. We have great responsibility with our spirit, with a strong sense of freedom. But God is sovereignly guiding us toward our final destiny. Upon our physical deaths, our spirits thrust into eternal life. Christ committed His spirit back into God's hands. Those of us who physically die with Christ's death applied to our accounts will enter paradise with God. And those who perish without Christ's sacrifice applied will languish in the outer darkness and hell for eternity.
So there you have it, the seven last words of Christ. Words we can meditate on for many, many years. They can always teach us something about how to live our lives. Let me try to wrap this up in just a few words. The seven last words of Christ reveal a tremendous amount of information for us. Jesus respected God's law all the way to His last breath. He died living what He taught. Most notably, loving and forgiving His enemies. His first cry teaches us to forgive our enemies and those who persecute us. Pray for them so no root of bitterness grows in our heart. His second cry tells us that He is there to forgive us, even the vilest criminals, if we would but trust in Him alone, repenting of our evil deeds. His third cry teaches us to love and honor our parents, making sure they are well taken care of, even to the very last. After a long silence, Jesus cried in sheer agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was grasping for God like no one ever has before. We should do the same way. When God seems distant, we need to be thirsting after His presence. We need to become proactive in our seeking after Him. Jesus then thirsted. The sixth cry is a shout of victory for all of us who love God. So let's celebrate the defeat of eternal death. It is finished. Praise God. It is finished. Now in full confidence, with peace that passes all understanding, we can boldly enter eternal life, knowing our valuable souls are in God's strong hands. Never will we be taken away from Him. Praise God. Into His hands we commit our forgiven spirits. Amen.
Now is the time for the offering. Would the usher please bring the offering plate forward? Today we are taking a special offering to support the annual budget of Tawas Area Ministerial Association. It supports our community ministerial events and our community nursing homes chaplaincy program. Please remember we are gathering the offering in the back of the sanctuary for those who want to give after service. Anyone giving a check should make it payable to Tawas Area Ministerial Association or simply TAMA. God bless you as you have given.
Almighty God of great love and mercy, Father of all provision, as we give our offerings today, we thank you for your sustaining grace that works toward us in all things. You have blessed us with such love, goodness, family, friends, and a beautiful community, and for that we are thankful. Father, we offer you our gift of finances today with thanksgiving and joyful praise. As we do, we pray for the work of our United Clergy members that work to bring the gospel to the Tawas area. May they attain your vision and love for the people as they reach out to them with your saving grace. We also ask that the people hear and respond by receiving what Jesus has accomplished for them. We also pray for our nursing homes, We ask your blessing and provision over all the staff that give of themselves to manage and work for the benefit of all the residents. We pray for the residents that you would heal, strengthen, and sustain them. We pray for our nursing home chaplain, that you could strengthen, sustain, and give her wisdom and insight as she ministers to those who love. May they all know of your love toward them and give them your peace. Please work through our offerings today and extend the work of your kingdom in your church and in your community. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing and answering our prayer that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
May you all stand to your feet as we recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, which is Were You There? It's hymn number 288, and we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
Crucified my Lord. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble.
I would like to remind you that as it being Good Friday, the tradition is to depart in silence as we reflect upon what our Savior did for us so long ago on this very day. And now may Jesus Christ, who for our sake became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, keep you and strengthen you now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Taos Area Ministerial Association's Good Friday service from Taos United Methodist Church on M55 in Taos City. Participating this afternoon, Archbishop Jan Biederstadt of the Worldwide Anglican Church, Frank and Twyla Wilczynski of Living Waters Christian Church of Taos, and Chris Kapler of Taos United Methodist Church. Join us for Easter services live Sunday morning at 10 a.m. here on the Bay's Best WIOS and every Sunday morning. And thanks for joining us for today's broadcast. And may the Lord bless each of you. May the light of Easter and a revival of the Spirit be within all of us and our nation. May the Lord bless and keep you.